Hello, beloved. It's good to be with you, and specifically looking at today's Bible study or this week's Bible study, where we're going to look at fear. I think it's one of those topics that is important for us every now and then to be reminded. Sunday, we spoke about the fear of man or the fear of people, which kind of triggered something in me that I said, but let's look a little bit closer to the whole concept or the whole aspect of fear. Before we do that, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us, and thank you for your word. Thank you that we can learn from your word. Even if it comes to specific topics, Father, we can learn about issues such as fear. Enable me to teach your people, Father. I pray that you will open up our hearts to receive and our minds to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, what are we going to do is let's start with a passage of scripture like Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Let's do verse 7 first, because I think it kind of helps us to get the context. Now, this is what we read. It says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now, this is, obviously, this is God speaking, right? Christ, well, Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ is the book of Revelation. So this is God speaking. He who overcomes will inherit all things. God will be that person's God, and that person will be God's son or God's child. Then verse 8 says the following, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, the second death is that total death where everything is cast into the lake of fire and destroyed forever and ever. But I want you to see the contrast here. Verse 7 of Revelation 21 says, "Those who overcome will inherit all things," which means the new heaven and the new earth. That such a person will enter into heaven. Such person will be in the presence of God. God will be that person's God, and that person will be God's child. All right, so for those who overcome, then you get the opposite of those who overcome in verse 8. It is as if John is giving us the counterpart of those who overcome. So on the one end, you've got those who will inherit all things. Those who overcome, obviously, it's referring to those who are saved. Those who are, how can I say, delivered from the bondage of sin. Those who have been set free from sin. Those who have been cleansed of their sin. Those are the people that it's speaking about in verse 7. In verse 8, it tells us about the fearful. What will happen to the fearful? The opposite of those who overcome. The opposite of those who are believers. Because the fearful, what will happen is they will end up in the lake of that burns with fire and brimstone. All right, so this is serious stuff. All right, so the fearful will end up in hell. The unbelieving will end up in hell. Obviously, the unbelieving are the opposite of those who overcome. Now, those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The abominable, those who are detestable, who do detestable acts or perform detestable acts, they are an abomination unto the Lord. They will end up in the lake of fire. The murderers, obviously those who take other people's lives. The warmongers, and warmongers are nothing else but those who are sexually immoral. Or the sorcerers, those who are involved in witchcraft. The idolaters, those who are worshipping idols other than the God of creation. Now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who worships anything but God. And then all liars, because Satan is the father of lies, and everybody who lies are doing the works of their father, who is the devil. All right, so these are just characteristics of the unsaved, characteristics of those people, and that they're actually called by name. They're actually given to us so that we can have an idea. When I see people who are fearful, who are living in fear, instead of living as overcomers. Because remember, to overcome means you are not living in fear. All right? First place, we fear God. Now we have an adoration. We have a we have something towards God. Obviously, we're not afraid of God in the sense of, oh, he's going to beat us over the head. No, we fear God because we look up to him, because he is worthy to be feared, because he is a how can I say, he's like a fire that destroys everything in front of him. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. All those kind of things. So those who overcome also overcome their fear. They overcame all kind of fear. And it's amazing what fear does. Fear has got a numbing effect on people. Eh? I spoke about that on Sunday. Now, those who overcome, they will inherit everything. Those who are fearful, they will end up in hell. Okay, because God doesn't want us. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Right, so the same thing with the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the sexually immoral and the sorcerers or the witches and the witch, those involved in witchcraft, the idolaters and the liars. That's not an exhaustive list of people who will end up in hell. It just gives us a good, how can I say, few things that we can look at people and say, oh, okay, I see. These people fall into these following categories. They fear all kind of things, for example. They don't fear God. Right, so even though they are fearful, they are afraid of so many things, they don't fear God. That's one of the distinguishing factors between those who overcome and those who are fearful. You see, fear is one of the characteristics of the wicked. Okay, it's a characteristic of the unsaved. But for those who are saved, they are characterized by being overcomers. They overcome fear. All right, they are not fearful. They're not unbelieving. They're not abominable. They're not murderers. They're not whoremongers. They're not sorcerers. They're not idolaters. They're not liars. Even though there could be times when they do these things, but they repent because they know it's wrong. Pardon me. Right. Now, what is one of the things that actually leads people towards becoming fearful? What are one of those things? Because it's definitely a problem that people fall into this fearful state. I believe one of those things is a guilty conscience. A guilty conscience leads to fear. And all we need to do is go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Where we see Adam and Eve. You remember after they sinned? Because it's normally sin. If I am living in sin, that's when I become fearful. That's normally what happens. You see, fear is a result of sin. Trying to hide my sin. Because I'm afraid to be revealed, or my sin to be revealed before God. And especially if I've got a guilty conscience like Adam and Eve had. So they would hid themselves away. Why? Out of fear. Because they were naked. And when they spoke to God, God said, how do you know? Did you eat of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? And that's when they said yes. So their guilty conscience led them to fear God. Because now all of a sudden, they were naked, and they knew they were naked. Why? Because they disobeyed God. Right, so this is serious stuff. So this is the problem, that a guilty conscience will lead to fear. You see, it's interesting how Proverbs 28 verse 1 describes a guilty conscience. Listen to this. It says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no one pursues. Have you seen people with a guilty conscience, how they just run and run and run? They've done something wrong, and then they start running. There are so many people who are running away from the consequences of their sin. There's so many people who run away from the sin that they've committed, and they just run, but they do different things in running. It doesn't mean they get into a vehicle and they drive off as far as they can. There are people who run away from their guilty consciences, but they can't. Because that's the one thing that happens, is when you sin, your conscience will tell you that you have sinned. because we have the ability to discern between right and wrong. And what happens is the wicked will rather run away from their conscience than face their conscience, repent towards God, and then get deliverance and forgiveness from God. All right, so you will see over and over and over again, and this is why Proverbs says it so beautifully, that the wicked flee when no one pursues, because they run because they've got a guilty conscience before God. All right, so it's important that we need to understand that. A guilty conscience will always lead to fear, and fear causes people to run. Some people have they say the best means of defense is attack. You will see at times when people have a guilty conscience, what they do is they go over into attack mode. They know they're wrong. They know they've sinned against God. And then they will start attacking. You know, and why? Because of their guilty conscience. Others run. You know, they try to get away. Hopefully that their conscience will stop attacking them. Their conscience will stop telling them that they've been doing wrong. And one of those things that will always happen when with regards to fear is that the thing that you fear will realize. It will happen. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 24 says that the fear of the wicked will come upon him. You see that? The fear of the wicked will come upon him. You see, that's the reality of fear. Whatever the person fears will come upon him or her. Especially the wicked. Because Proverbs 10 verse 24 also says, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. So if I fear something and I repent of my fear and I say, Lord, I'm not trusting you. I'm really in fear of this. Please, please give me deliverance from this fear. What will happen is my request will be granted to me. But with the wicked, their fear will come upon them. Whatever they are fearing will happen to them. Because it becomes something that pursues you. Your fear will find you out. Your fear will catch up to you, and your fear will destroy you. That's why God said so clearly through the Apostle Paul to Timothy that we have not received the spirit of fear. Beloved, we should live fearless lives. We don't fear anything because we have God as our God. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to live victorious. We have the Holy Spirit that enables us to live the kind of lives that God wants us to live with a clear conscience. And if my conscience tells me that I've done something wrong, that's a time to repent. So I can receive forgiveness. And when I receive forgiveness, so I can be free from any fear. I don't have to fear anything or anyone. For God has not given me a spirit of fear. But there are so many believers who are caught up in fear. You can see it on their faces. It's heartbreaking to see how many people fear. They fear for their lives, and they fear for this, and they fear for that, and small things and big things. Oh, this is going to come over me. And it's as if their lives are consumed with fear. Because that's what fear does. Christ sets free. But fear brings people into bondage. And let me tell you, and let me say it straight out, we are now, in the time that we are living in now, we are living in a spirit of fear. People in the world are living in fear. They are so fearful of the coronavirus. They are so fearful of COVID-19. They live in fear, where God has given us not a spirit of fear. And why do they live in fear? It's because that's the narrative that has been set out there. That people should be afraid. Beloved, God has not called us to be fearful. God has called us to be, how can I say, live victorious lives. That's what we have been called to do. And it's interesting that the scripture teaches us that God mocks those who fear. God actually mocks them. Listen to Proverbs 1 verse 26. It says, I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your terror comes. God will mock those who are in fear, and then when that thing that they fear comes over them, God will mock them. And why will God mock them? Because what they fear has come over them? And they're not reaching out to God for protection. They're not reaching out to God when they've sinned and get forgiveness of sin. They are trying to do things in their own strength, in their own power. Now, Scripture is clear. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12, we read the following. Listen to this. I'm not going to read the text, but let me tell you. This is God speaking to Isaiah, and he says to Isaiah that he should not fear the threats of the people of Israel. Because there was a fear that Isaiah would become afraid of the people of Israel. So God actually tells Isaiah, don't fear them. Because we are not supposed to be afraid. Okay? We're not supposed to live in fear. Obviously, there are times and there are issues that we are going to fear. Things that we are going to be afraid of. But beloved, that's why we bring these things to God in prayer. And we trust Him that He's the one who looks after us. He is our Heavenly Father. I will not fear anything. Why will I not fear anything? Because God is with me. Who can be against me? What can touch me if God is with me? God is in full control. And if we fear, we are saying that God doesn't have control. We don't believe He is sovereign. We don't believe He's almighty. We don't believe He's the one who can do all things. And we don't trust Him that He has got my life and everything in His hands. Oh, fear is I can say that fear is connected to unbelief, beloved. Fear is definitely connected to unbelief. Those who live in unbelief live in fear. And unbelief is sin. Therefore, I believe that fear is also sin. What do we do with sin? We confess our sin. And when we confess our sin, we are forgiven of our sin because God is faithful and true to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I sin against God, if I live with a spirit of fear, I confess it before Him, He delivers me from that fear, and then I continue with my life, with boldness, not being afraid of everything and anything, because I have not received a spirit of fear. All right. Now, there are things that people are afraid of, that people have fear towards, and believers should not have fear towards these things. Let me give you an example of two. The one is idols. In 2 Kings 17, verse 38, we read, "And the covenant I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods." We should not fear idols. We should not fear the devil. We should not fear fallen angels. We should not fear any principalities and powers and things that are spiritual. We should not fear any of those things. We should not fear these things that are man-made or handmade. Things that people bow down and bow before. You know, all these ugly demonic idols that people worship. We should not fear those things. We should fear the living God and Him alone. People are so afraid of demons, and they are so afraid of evil spirits, and they're so afraid of idols, and they come and appease them with all kinds of offerings that they bring to them. Why do they do that? Because they are living in fear of these things. Why do people worship the ancestors? Because they're afraid. They're afraid of what the ancestors are going to do to them. So they live in this spirit of fear. They are in bondage. So they slaughter sheep or goats, and they bring the offerings to these dead. It's actually not people, hey. It's not ancestors at all. I've spoken about this before. But just as a reminder, we all have ancestors. Those who passed away, our family that passed away, they all are ancestors. But when it comes to ancestral worship, it is not the worship of those people. It's familiar spirits that take the form of our ancestors, and then they come and parade themselves so that we will worship them. How many times have we seen people actually make ngombuti, make beer for the ancestor spirits because they want to drink beer, but the person, when that person was alive, never used to drink. You know, that kind of thing. But the people are afraid of the ancestors. They're afraid of idols, and that's why they bring offerings to these idols and these ancestral spirits. When these ancestor spirits are not the spirits of the people, because the spirits of the people are either with God or they're in hell. All right, the story about Lazarus and the rich man clearly tells us it's either in hell or in the bosom of Abraham. That's where people are. And they're not interested in what happens on this earth anymore. But what the false, these fallen angels do, demons do, is they take up the form of the ancestors. They come to the people and then they want all kinds of sacrifices made because they want worship. That's what they want. They want people to worship them. And how do they get it right? Through fear. How does Satan get people to worship him? Through fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Why do we worship God? It's because He has set us free from the bondage of sin and fear. We worship Him because it is a pleasure, it's a joy, it's such a blessing to worship God, because we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Right, something else that people fear is man. We've spoken about that quite a lot. It's interesting, 1 Samuel 15:24 says, and this is where Saul said to Samuel, "I feared the people and obeyed their voice." And that cost him his kingship. I preached about that when we started with the series on fear. But people also fear judgment. They're afraid of being judged. In Luke chapter 21, verse 26, we read about man's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of the things that are coming over the earth. When God starts pouring out His wrath on this earth, people are going to live in fear. They're going to have so much fear. And why? Because they're afraid of judgment. Now they live the way that they want to because they think they're not going to be judged. So those are three things that people fear. Idols, they fear man, they fear judgment, but they also fear future punishment. Beloved, we need to understand that people are afraid. They live in a spirit of fear. We do not. The thing is, please understand that fear is overwhelming. Fear is an all-consuming thing, and we have been called by God to live fearless lives. Not in fear, but to overcome, to live as overcomers. That's what God has given us in Christ Jesus, that we will not have a spirit of fear, but that we will be overcomers over fear. May that be true in our lives. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we are overcomers in Christ, that you have saved us and we don't have a spirit of fear. Thank you so much for that. Father, may we live this week fearlessly in your providence, in who you are and what you have done for us in Christ Jesus, and not be overcome by any fear, I pray, for each one of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. And may you experience a fearless week. Well, not just a fearless week, but a fearless future as we trust in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And as we rely on and live and walk in the Spirit of God, who has not given us a spirit of fear, because the Spirit of God is not a spirit of fear. We have received a spirit that is full of love and full of self-discipline. May we walk in that. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.